passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football
headline. A busy afternoon with the news of Calipari leaving for Arkansas, and of course all the excitement around Columbia today with the return of the Gamecocks from the national championship. Let's get back to the calls here, and Devin is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Devin.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Just want to say to the Coach Cal, I think he's a sucker for leaving without saying anything.
Well, he hasn't said anything yet. Yeah, you're right. A reporter caught up with him today in Lexington while he was walking his dog.
That was kind of
he had nothing to say.
To see him walking his dog in Lexington.
Yeah. Good to see him busy today. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's check out Chris in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how's everybody doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Man, I know exactly how your interview guests felt because we just got back in, been home about 4 hours, and it's, man, what a trip. But what a weekend. And I wanted to talk about basically my top five and bottom five lists from all the news this weekend.
Okay.
So top five. I think it's a fight between who got more out of it, Arkansas or Kentucky. I still think it's Kentucky getting out from under that crazy buyout. But, Arkansas's NIL is going to go through the roof. And I think both teams are going to benefit from that for sure. South Carolina and Dawn Staley. I mean, you want to talk about the GOAT having a team with nothing left from the previous year. I mean, you've talked many times on this program and other people have about the job Nate Oates did. What Dawn did this year at South Carolina far surpasses that, right? And in general, I would say women's basketball, truthfully. I mean, is it not having a moment even before the finals? And everything was about, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark this year, and South Carolina women just came out of nowhere and in some ways and just smashed it. So overall, women's basketball, it's elevated it again, and I hope that continues, right? And last, on a personal note, honestly, top five for us personally on this trip was nostalgia. I used to travel as a consultant and flew in and out of Phoenix every week for like a year and a half. So it kind of felt like a little bit of a homecoming, but what a facility down there. We stayed close, and it was nice just to be able to walk to the game and just have that whole extended fan experience. So, Phoenix is awesome. Glendale's awesome, for that kind of stuff if you're going down for that. Bottom five, right? I think that the unrelenting hate directed toward Caitlin Clark and Iowa, especially after the UConn game, looks really stupid. And I think that it's made even worse that it's coming from other, female athletes, female basketball players. I mean, why? Like why? Like, there's no reason for that right now. When your sport is ascending in such a way, rising tide raises all boats. And I think that it's a mistake, right? It's a really foolish mistake. I think that the next bottom five item for me is UConn and the media after that game, the kind of sour grapes about it, on what I feel like was a 100% accurate call. When you see it from the wider angle, it's obvious it was a moving screen. And that stinks, but don't foul, play clean. I mean, the last few seconds, you always want to play clean. I think, from our perspective, our game experience there was amazing. And my wife was even saying, she said, I don't even really kind of want to go back to a college football game because the fan interaction is so bad anymore at college football games and people getting hammered and just, I mean, it was amazing. Like it was amazing. And it was the first time we'd ever been to a Final Four, and I'm not saying people weren't cheering for their teams, and maybe we benefited as Alabama fans because everybody except UConn fans were Alabama fans because Purdue definitely wanted us to win and NC State wanted us to win, I saw Purdue and NC State fans. One guy came back, bought three beers for these two or these three NC State fans beside him, a Purdue fan, after the game. You don't see that anywhere else, and I think that that's unique in college basketball, and it's appreciation more for the sport than people's egos. And I think that, you know, college football could take a big lesson from that in the fan experience. The last thing I'll say, my fourth bottom item, because I had to adjust my list after JK's call, is that I think that college basketball officiating, though, they got to take a long look in the mirror, because there were some in both of those games, there was some weirdness that doesn't show in the stat lines, but it really was weird. And I'm not whining about calls after I've said that about the UConn game, but if you go back and watch that live, it was the stats were crazy on what was happening. And I mean, the Grant Nelson mugging was just one massive example, but there was a lot through both games, you know, Purdue and NC State as well. But my amended bottom five is the garbage that's coming out of JK's mouth while he and his Miami turnover chain are sitting at home watching this. So my predictions for the game tonight, you know, Purdue against NC State looked eminently beatable. And I think that UConn's guards, I know the stat line is like, 6.5 right now?
Right.
I think it's going to be a much wider margin. I think it'll be by 30.
Thank you very much, Chris. Glad to have you on. How about Josh up next in Kentucky? Hello, Josh.
How you doing, Mr. Paul?
We are doing great.
Boy, it's just a good, fine day. I woke up to the best news ever. I'm so glad Cal's gone. I know a lot of people wanted him to stay. It's the best deal for us. I'm so glad. It's better than the Eclipse. I just hope he ain't got us in trouble. That's all I hope, like he did in Memphis.
You can't get in trouble anymore. I mean, that's virtually impossible. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Chris, who is in South Carolina. Hey, Chris, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for being back in this seat, man. As we found out Friday, it's a blessing every day.
Thank you very much for that.
Man, I appreciate you. Man, I want to congratulate the Lady Gamecocks. Notice I said the Lady Gamecocks and not the rest of them. But what Dunn State did, man, that's very impressive, man. Even a Clemson fan got to respect it. 38 wins in a row, man, that's awesome. That is awesome. But when you was out Friday, man, we got a call from the GOAT, man. He called back in, man.
What happened?
And he had a good call. He had a good call.
Jim called. I didn't realize that. I was flying somewhere on Friday, so I missed the show.
Yeah, man. Man, you know, and I know, and all the callers know, man, I grew up listening to Jim on this program. We need Jim.
Number one, I'm glad to know that Jim is still alive.
Yeah. I mean,
I was worried.
It gets kind of crazy sometimes, but Jim's okay. But, Paul, I'll try to stay calm, and I got all that out the way, man. But, this guy, AJ, he got me hot, Paul. He got me very hot.
Let's hear it.
Because where I'm from, you don't call a grown man a boy unless you're looking for a fight. So I guess he want a fight, so I'm going to get him one. So the first thing, he ain't even spelling his name right, AJ. It should be J-A. We all know what that stands for. I'm not going to say it, but that's what it stands for. And then he talking about the real Tigers. He not even the best Tigers in this conference. At best, he 3. He at the bottom. How you going to say the real Tigers? Man, that got to be so high when I heard that. He know the last time they played us, what happened? Man, they ain't scoring the last 2 quarters. And Paul, boy, I don't like that word. That's why he got me so hot right now. So, AJ, I'm going to tell you right now. You keep calling me a boy, or you want to say it, why don't you come on up to South Carolina? Because we ain't going to see you in the playoffs because you ain't even going to get out your conference. So I guess we're going to have to – I don't see a home at home, so I don't know what we're going to play Auburn. I really don't want to play Auburn. They are South Carolina of Bama to us, man. They horrible. They just horrible. So that's out of the way, but I'm just going to tell you, man, you got a good program. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to call in. But, Paul, man, don't take no more days off. And also, when you talk to Dunn Staley, she come on the program, tell her stay away from the football team. Please don't coach them. You have a nice day, Paul.
Thank you very much, Chris. Great to have you aboard. Big O is up next. Hey, Big O.
Thanks for letting me talk, Paul. I want to talk about the women's basketball a little bit. It has turned into must-see TV, the LSU-Iowa game. and then the LSU-UConn game, and then, of course, the LSU-South Carolina game. Without a doubt, the ratings on all three of those games are going to be out the roof, and you've got to give Caitlin Clark a lot of credit for that. And the women's game, there would have been a time that if a man was watching that, we'd say we might have lost our man guard. But it's not that way right now. And those games, every one of those games, let their billing, it was as good as it could be. You can't say that about the men's game. They wasn't that good.
No, they really weren't.
You know, people probably changed the channel, but not the women's game. And they were great, and they was great to watch. Now, I've got one little thing that bothers me a little bit about this Caitlin Clark deal. If you ask Siri right now, who's the number one scorer in college basketball, do you know the answer to that question, Paul?
I do not.
That man's name is John Pierce. He played for David Lipscomb and the great Don Meyer. And I guess it bothers me a little bit that his name is never brought up. He scored 4,230 points. He's still alive. He teaches school at Nashville, Tennessee. And you don't think that is the case when you listen. You think it's Caitlin Clark. And I feel like this man's name should have been mentioned, but it's never brought up. And I don't think that's quite fair, but the media that's surrounded this really built this up to, you know, is give her a lot of billing. And she's earned it. I understand it, you know. But I do feel like this man's name should have been mentioned somewhat. But the latest sports right now, it is on fire. Thank you for the time. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. We're heading to a break. We'll go to Kentucky. Well, actually, we'll go to Arizona and talk about Kentucky in just a few minutes. More of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Busy afternoon. We'll talk more about what Kentucky does next. Coming up here in just a few moments, let's check in now with Rusty in Indiana. Hello, Rusty.
Hey, Paul. I woke up this morning. My phone was blowing up with great news. I said to myself, hey, I'm going to have to call Paul Feinbaum, tell him what an awesome day it is to be such a Wildcat basketball fan.
That is funny.
Hey, we got rid of Crooked Cow. Didn't have to pay the massive buyout, and I ain't going to have to become a South Carolina fan like I told you I was going to.
Well, to me, that's the biggest advantage to the program, because I don't know how close it came, but I suspect that if Kentucky could have fired Cal for nothing, they would have. So now, I mean, now they saved $33 million. They can use that money to pursue the next coach?
I'm still going to support Trent Noah, but, hey, we got a football coach. If he don't get over the hump, they reunite that marriage down there in Arkansas.
Well, I don't know about that, Rusty, but, hey, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Justin is in Arkansas. Hey, Justin.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? How's everything going today, man?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, so I wanted to ask you, how crazy is it that Bobby Petrino and now Terry are in Fayetteville in 2024? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. Considering one was at Louisville, one was at Louisville a couple of times, I should say. I don't know what's going to happen with Sam Pittman. There's certainly a lot of pressure on him to win this year.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. And I think that talent that they had last year was really misused by Dan Enos. I really think they had the talent. It was just misused. And if Bobby Petrino can handle his business and get that talent that's around him, that also have a year, because think about that wide receiver core. Everybody back on that in that group is back, and tight ends. So if they can, they got year in experience. If Bobby Petrino can scheme them up, I definitely think they could have a good year.
You are correct. Well, and whatever people think about Pittman, and everyone likes him, but if he doesn't work out, I think everyone can easily think about who could be next. Deanna is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Deanna.
Hello, how you doing today?
We are doing well, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to say that Rick Pitino is unmatched in coaching skill set, and I don't see a problem with him coming back. I think he was lightning in a bottle here, and he's 71. But, you know, hey, Tony La Russa to baseball is what Rick Pitino is to basketball. They're unmatched in their talents. And I just don't see anybody else igniting a fan base like he could do it. I mean, everybody says there's
no, you know,
way.
For all the perceived excitement that Cal brings to Arkansas, Pitino doubles that if he were hired. It would be a short-term hire, but that's – no big deal anymore. He is one of the most charismatic figures in the game, even in the autumn of his career.
No doubt. And if he could give us 2 years, 3 years, he's like lightning in a bottle for us. I mean, I think I like redemption. I like somebody going out on top, and I'd like to see him do well and go out on top. And he loves the game. He loves Kentucky. He loves the horses. He gets the fans. He actually gets us. You know, we're not crazy. We're not mean. We're not hateful. We have a history. And we just want to entrust that to somebody who appreciates it. And he seemed to appreciate it.
Hey, you're right. And Pitino, I was with him one night, and he admitted, even a few years ago, that he has been haunted by his departure from Kentucky. He left a national championship team for Tubby Smith to go to become the president of the Celtics, which was an unmitigated disaster. Thank you very, very much. Let's check out Ken in Myrtle Beach. Hey, Ken, go right ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a great lead into where I was going with this. I mean, Pitino was the right guy at the right time for the Kentucky job. And it was a rock star moment, Paul. You remember all that? I mean, it was a
yeah.
Perfect
no, I
marriage.
Mean, and as big as Cal was, I mean, he was very big. He was not Rick Pitino.
No, he wasn't. But even he, as we all know, Calipari liked the light on him. You know, and is there? I'm glad he's gone. I am. I'm glad he's gone. But it's like, When you get what you want gone, who can handle that spotlight? Can Nate Oates handle that spotlight?
That's a really good question. I mean, Nate Oates, for all of his strength, is a good communicator, but he is not one of these just external extroverted guns to the wall. I use my words carefully there. That's not him. I mean, he's an X's and O's coach who is spectacular, but I can't see Nate Oates doing some of the things that Cal or Patino did at UK.
And I guess that's where I'm at.
And by the way, one other thing about Billy Donovan.
I
think you have to remember about Billy Donovan, you're not getting the 2007 version of Billy Donovan. You're getting a 58-year-old coach.
He's not really the kid anymore. It's not that.
He's been spectacularly mediocre in the NBA.
And that's where I'm at. It's like, I mean, you need to be – it sounds so arrogant as a UK fan, and yes, we are mean, and yes, we are this, and yes, we are that, or at least we can be. But it's like, who can – and Cal's right on this. It takes a special person to handle this job because there's a lot on that. We saved some money, so we got some money to spend on somebody, and I love that part. I just don't know who it is.
Well, you know, when you round up the usual suspects, and I mean, we all woke up with the same suspects this morning. You know, Scott Drew, I think he's a very good coach. Does he excite anyone? The coach at Iowa State, does anyone even know who he is?
No.
And I'm not talking about the basketball wonks. Nate Oates certainly, it always helps to come off a Final Four. It seems like they're usual suspects. One thing I do know about Mitch Barnhart, he is not a predictable guy. I mean, he is very smart. He has thought about this. He probably has a couple of people identified. And you'll start to hear those names overnight. I mean, this story is still very fresh.
And the funny thing is, too, is like with the NIL money, it's like Kentucky football was getting more NIL money than basketball because Mark Stoops knew how to play the game, and yeah. Cal did not want to play the game.
No, Cal, you know? Let's be honest. I don't know what he's going to do at Arkansas, but he was done at Kentucky. He was just playing out the string. We'll take a break and talk to a person who's covered him and been very analytical about Cal's past, what happens now, and what Kentucky does next. Kyle Tucker joining us right away.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Just 5 hours before the national championship in men's basketball, the story buzzing everywhere today and remains that way is John Calipari leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. So what's next? Kyle Tucker covers the Cats. Who could be the next man? Nate Oates, Rick Pitino, Scott Drew, Kyle Tucker. When John Calipari leaves while you're eating tacos at the Final Four, a brief history on why you always bring your laptop. Story broke at 10:30 Eastern time, so Kyle out there in the West, still enjoying an evening. Kyle, but let's talk about that first. I'm always intrigued by sports writers who have their night ruined by a breaking story. Good afternoon. Thank you so much. Take us to the taco shack late last night. Had you gotten your meal yet?
We had just ordered our food when it became. I mean, we were already monitoring. It was our whole staff was actually out to dinner for our. It was going to be our relaxing college basketball staff team dinner on the eve of the national championship game. That's usually when you're most of the haze in the barn and you kind of kick back and relax until the late game Monday night. But it, you know, things have been buzzing all day. I was actually playing mini golf with my dad. He's out here at the Final Four with me as this all really heated up yesterday. And so spent way too much of that leisure time checking my phone. And then by the time dinner happened, it had all popped off. And so, yeah, pretty crazy that, you know, we go through the latest first round upset and the upheaval and the calls for, you know, Kentucky to pony up the money and get rid of Cal. And they made it clear they weren't going to, and have their awkward joint television appearance where Cal and Kentucky's athletic director, you know, grin and say they still like each other and everything's going to be fine. And so everyone proceeded with plans to cover a super awkward, you know, one more year of John Calipari in Lexington. And then, you know, and I think in true John Calipari fashion, he drops a bomb on everybody on the night before the national championship game.
Kyle, before we get to what's next at Kentucky, I'm curious what you know about the Arkansas search. Certainly Musselman was gone by last Wednesday, so Hunter Yurecek had some time. That rumor had been out there for a while. He had some time to start making a list. Do you know where John Calipari fit in Arkansas's pecking order?
Well, there's always the question of where, you know, where did he fit in the athletic director's pecking order and where did he fit in the billionaire's pecking order?
Right.
You know, because they're not always the same. And I would say when enough billionaires want the same thing, and Arkansas, in fact, has quite a few billionaire boosters, and they all seem to coalesce behind the John Calipari movement, and I think they made it happen. So, you know, I couldn't speak to where the AD had John Calipari, but I can tell you Cal's been good friends with the Tyson Chicken Kings for a long time, and the chicken man wanted Cal and got him.
My, where have I heard that story before, Kyle? So let's get to what is really important, and that's Kentucky, because there's already been news today on players on the current roster and recruits. You're talking about a valuable group of players right now who are supposed to play next year. What is going on up there, and how will this decision be made, and who do you think it will end up being?
Yeah, in terms of the players, I mean, I think that was always going to be the way it ended with Cal whenever it ended, that, you know, all of a sudden the five-star pipeline gets cut off. And I think in a lot of ways that's why everyone was a little afraid to do it, right, to pull that trigger, because even though they haven't achieved the kind of results you wanted of late, it is pretty intoxicating to sign the number one or number two recruiting class every year. And he had the number two class coming in. I think a bunch of those guys, most of those guys ultimately will probably end up with him at Arkansas. When he left Memphis for Kentucky, he took John Wall and Boogie Cousins and that great class with him, you know, and made Kentucky an instant contender. And I think he'll try to do the same with this Arkansas situation. As far as, you know, who and what is next for Kentucky, it's going to be a fascinating search. You know, one of the most seismic moves in college basketball in a long time, because, you know, we're in this domino effect stage right now. You know, you start with the SMU opening, which leads to the USC opening, which leads to the Arkansas opening, which leads to the Kentucky opening. And when Kentucky gets its man, unless it goes and gets somebody like Billy Donovan, somebody else big is going to have an opening, you know, or else Kentucky really screwed it up. You know, so they need to be going to poach a really good programs, really good coach. Scott Drew, I think, has always been at the top of Mitch Barnhart's list, the athletic director at Kentucky. They've known each other for a long time. They got to know each other really well when Barnhart was the NCAA chair at the bubble tournament, the bubble tournament that Baylor and Scott Drew won. I think he's always kind of had him at the top of that list because of that. So, you know, will he leave the relative, not even really relative, will he leave the quiet and peace of his sort of anonymous life in Waco, Texas, where there's not a ton of scrutiny and pressure and, you know, media coverage, to come be in the fishbowl at Kentucky? That's the big question with him. If not, do you take those big swings? Do you make Danny Hurley turn down the biggest pile of money you could possibly assemble? Don't think he would leave UConn unless it was something astronomical, and maybe not even then. You know, and after that, I think you start thinking about Nate Oates. And I think fit-wise, like, if you were going to ask me who's a gettable guy who you just have to pay the money to because he's got a huge buyout, a gettable guy that if you're willing to pay for, I would bet would get you back to a Final Four really fast. Nate Oates would be pretty high on that list. And, you know, I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to see unfold in the next week, two, three, however long it takes.
Rick Pitino's also been mentioned, but I want to pause him for a second and get some more information on Nate Oates. We know that he was given a new contract, $18 million buyout, but we don't know, or do we, exactly where that contract is. Sometimes you get a contract extension and it still has some machinations to go through. What do we know about Nate Oates' contract?
Yeah, I don't know that. I imagine it's a done deal. It's been long enough now. I think if you're Nate Oates, not expecting the Kentucky job to come open, and somebody puts a deal like that in front of your face, I think you sign it. So I don't think it's a handshake agreement. But that is an interesting point. I mean, if it's possible that it's, you know, an agreement in principle but not signed, maybe there's wiggle room there. I think the bottom line is if you come to believe he's your guy, it shouldn't matter. You know, they weren't going to pay $33 million to make John Calipari go away, but 18 is less than 33, and they were probably going to have to pony up 25 or whatever it is after next season if Cal didn't get it done to make him go away. I think if that's what it takes to get the guy you think can get you right back on top, you probably do that. I mean, they were paying John Calipari the biggest, you know, the biggest salary or second biggest salary in college basketball. The money is there. I think you know, 33 was probably too much, but 18 to me doesn't seem like too much if you think he's your guy.
Kyle, I mentioned Pitino. It seems like it wouldn't even be serious, but Rick Pitino still is fairly magical, and he is. He hasn't got to the tournament at St. John's. He got there with Iona, but he certainly got the coverage. I mean, this guy owned the New York tabloids this year, even failing to get to the NCAA tournament. Is that even on the dance card?
I think if Kentucky called, he would listen. He's always called at Camelot, and yeah, I think there's some level of regret in his mind that he ever left. You know, he's talked about the people that have told him. I think he said it was Dick Vitale. I can't remember recently. You know, if you'd never left Kentucky, you'd have a gazillion national championships. And probably that's true. But he's pretty old at this point. I'm not sure if you're Kentucky and you're looking into the future, you want to hire a guy that's, you know, kind of trying to make one last gasp. I think you hire the guy that you think is set up to put you on a run. You know, you want Danny Hurley, you want Nate Oates in terms of, you know, the track they've got their programs on. You need somebody to put yours on that track to not just catch lightning in a bottle for a year or two, rekindle some old nostalgia for a couple of years. I think you need to really, really systematically approach how can you find the next guy who's got 10, 12 years in him to make a prolonged run at Kentucky.
Kyle, finally, the legacy of John Calipari. We talked several times recently after the tournament bounce out in Nashville. Yes, we know what he did. We know what he didn't do. We've heard already from fans today who seem pretty happy about it. You cover the team. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a mix of people. You know, I think people were ready to move on. Even the people that aren't necessarily celebrating it, they're probably a little sad about it. Feel a lot of them still feel like it was the right time to move on. And then there's a group that I think, you know, has this fear, you know, that they'll never be able to get anybody who's as, you know, dominates the conversation and recruiting and all of those things the way that Cal did. And they remember Cal certainly much more for the guy he was over the first 7, 8, you know, even 10 years at Kentucky. And I think have a hard time coming to terms with what he's been the last 4 years is what he is now. And he would say he's not that. You know, I think he still thinks he's got it in him. That's why he's making this move. He needed a fresh start. His legacy is complicated because those first 6, 7 years at Kentucky were electric. You know, if they didn't win the national title, you know, they were a threat to win the national title for the duration of a season, all but one of those years. I mean, the first team didn't get to Final Four, but they were number one all year and had Wall and Cousins. The second team was a surprise Final Four run. The third team won the national title. His fifth team went to the national championship game with all freshmen. His sixth team went 38-0 and lost in the Final Four. I mean, that they should have had more than one title, certainly, but that was about as exciting and fun of a time for Kentucky basketball, certainly in modern history, as they've ever had. And so that's a part of his legacy. You don't that the recent years don't wipe that away, but it gets complicated by the fact that the end was so kind of ugly and muddled, and it became so contentious, I think, between, you know, not only him and the administration, but him and the fan base and the media. So how he ended was certainly kind of he certainly limped away from the program. And I'd say just complicated is the word for John Calipari's legacy at Kentucky.
Kyle, many thanks. I know there's a game tonight. I don't know who's playing, don't know when it is, but enjoy covering it. Thank you very, very much. Kyle Tucker joining us from The Athletic. It does start at 9:20 between Purdue and UConn, in case you were wondering. We'll take a short break. Back with more after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, very interesting conversation about what's next at UK and the Arkansas approach. It came down to what the billionaire Chicken King wanted, according to Kyle Tucker. One thing I do know, having spent a lot of time in Northwest Arkansas, you got a couple of families there. You got the Walton family, pretty obvious their impact. You got the trucking group, J.B. Hunt. And then you got the Chicken Kings, and they control a great deal of that area and have made a tremendous impact and contribution to that area as well. Let's continue on. Bill in Kentucky is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You've had Matt Jones on your show before, haven't you, Paul?
Many times.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you have any plans to bring him on soon or anything?
Well, from a personal standpoint, I would love to. Matt's always been one of my favorite guests.
I think he'd be real good right now. It may not be possible. I'm just asking. I'd like for him to be on, you know.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, and I'm hoping we could get Matt on here one day very soon.
Great. That's great. Paul, you know, I'll tell you what I think happened. I think Barnhart was going to fire Cal. But I think Cal told Barnhart that, hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, I know these last 4 or 5 years has really been bad, and I deserve to be fired, but I'll leave. And I think that's exactly what's happened.
Well, I agree with you. I think Barnhart was in a really tough spot, and then he did that hostage video tape with Cal when they both acted like they were still married.
Yes.
I mean, it looked like one of these situations where you see a famous politician, and I could give you about 10 names, including a former president from Arkansas, where they catch the guy having an affair, But for political expediency, they end up bringing the wife in for a press conference, and they both look miserable because they are. That's how I viewed that.
Yes, I understand. I wanted to share one other thing with you, Paul. You were talking about earlier the previous guest you had on. He was talking about Tucker, I think was his name.
Right.
He was talking about the recruits coming to Kentucky next year under Cal, you know, that Cal got.
Right.
Well, they got the best recruit they have, Paul, is a five-star big guy, and his last name is Quaidance.
Right.
And there's an article on KSR today where his father was interviewed, and he said he wanted to talk to Mitch Barnhart because he wanted to know who the next coach was. It wasn't necessarily saying that his son was going on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.